the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, the Messias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of those whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Let's pray. O Lord of glory, we thank you that we can gather again this evening to worship the great name, the name that is above all names. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity even to bring your word to dear ones here. We pray that you help your word, you will unction it and use it for what you intended today for each and every soul that is represented here. May you bless our time now for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We profess this faith that believes in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and it's a live religion, it's a live faith that is seen and can be seen and should be seen in the kind of fruit that it bears. Remember, Jesus Christ categorically said that he's a vine and there are some branches, and every branch that do not bear fruit shall be cut off, in John chapter 15. And of course, we have in Galatians chapter 5 the fruit that is expected of you and I who profess this faith. So long as you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, we must see the fruition of that confession. We must see the fruit that comes from that confession. That is basically John's problem with these people who are coming down to be baptized. People are streaming down, coming to be baptized at the river, and John tells us the groupings of the fellows who came, some because just a crowd, and then others, he refers to them rather by their profession. Like today, you can say doctors also came, lawyers also came to be baptized. Specialists of this nature also came to be baptized. It seemed that baptism was the in thing that day. You have to be baptized. Say, hey, let's go, man. Yeah, let's leave our tools and go to the river. We heard that John is there. So let's go and have this mark. So they're coming down to be baptized to show that they have repented, kind of their sins. But John is able to see through. There's nothing more than the water that they're going down under. Life goes on, as usual. And the servant of God comes out bold with them. And he went unto all the region around Jordan, proclaiming baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. That was the theme of his preaching. Repent for forgiveness of your sins. That is a new measure to the people who are hearing him this day, because the Jews would generally just baptize Gentiles who came into their belief, Judaism. But Judaism is not Christianity. It was basically meant rather to give way to the true faith that works. Those who believe in Christ Jesus. Judaism was based more on the Abrahamic covenant that the Lord had with Abraham insofar as his immediate children were concerned, the Israelites. But beyond that, we know, and Paul helps us to know this, that there are people who are called the true children of Abraham. And those are the Israelites of today, in as far as those who have confessed faith in Christ Jesus, Paul says they are the true circumcised. So stopping at Judaistic profession was not enough. It never produced godly works or fruit of the Spirit. So now, in this era of John, as much as the Gentiles sought to be baptized, so even the Judaistic people, the Israelites themselves, the Jews, would also come to be baptized, but they should be baptized on a common ground now, as a people who have professed faith that gives repentance, that shows repentance and fruit for that matter. This is why John has issues with the crowd that is coming here. Has issues with the Pharisees. Has issues with the tax collectors. He has issues with the soldiers. And everybody that comes seems to be having a problem as far as John is concerned. And in other words, though baptized, John is clear that they're not ready to produce any fruit that shows their repentance. So let's look at some of these characters just briefly. If you turn to verse 7, these people who are coming, Luke, we are in Luke chapter 3. He said therefore, verse 7, he said therefore to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers." Now, if today we are preaching to people that you are a sinner, you need to repent. I say, no, that church is very cruel, you know. They're not considerate of our situation. They're calling us sinners. Some were called vipers. A brood of vipers. And he continues. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Have you heard of this gospel that is true, that makes you run away from the wrath of God? Or you are just coming here before me for baptism because it's the in thing? Who warned you? Have you heard of this gospel that brings repentance? Of course, they counter John. As much as John tells them, now I want to see fruit in keeping with repentance. And as they confronted Jesus, you remember when we read in chapter 8 of John, no, we are children of Abraham. No, that's good, that's safe. But John goes ahead of them and says, it is not a matter of being in the lineage of Abraham. It's not a matter of being circumcised in the foreskin. It's not a matter of identifying with the family of Abraham. Now, if that be the case, even the stones that you see today, God can raise them for Abraham, and they'll not be required to produce fruit anyway. If anything, you are like these stones. No, you see, that's the point. So long as you're saying you're a child of Abraham, and there's no sign of repentance and faith and fruition, we might as well call stones children of Abraham. See the seriousness of the matter here. And the axe is laid to the root of the tree. So, every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, echoing Christ himself in John chapter 15. Then he turns to them one by one. What then shall we do? He asked. You see, it shows that they're beginning to realize that John has an issue with them. You remember Peter when he's preaching in Acts chapter 2? Powerful sermon, showing the crowd on that day about Jesus Christ and the need to repent. And the response was the same. What shall we do? The Philippian jailer himself, what shall we do? And he says, no. Show fruit then, that you have truly received this faith that brings repentance and fruition for that matter. And we need to see those fruit. Don't just say that you have received this faith according to John, but you have 101 tunics in your wardrobe and your brother out in the street is walking without. These things are very practical, my brothers and sisters. We see the true repentance and faith again in the first church, Acts chapter 2, those fellows who asked, what can we do? As Luke records that story further on towards the end of that passage, he tells us how the church lived communally. And he says that everybody lived together as if in one family, and people were ready even to go and sell their land and provide for the needy. In the congregation, John says that that is the fruit of repentance. We are reminded again that it doesn't help, especially in the book of James. Show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Or the other way, also you can still say, show me your works, then I'll see your faith. So it's not just a matter of, I believe, I've been baptized, I'm going to heaven, and you're living for yourself. And John challenges that from the crowd. Further down, he begins to tackle the professionals, which, as I look at this matter, please do appreciate that our Christianity should also influence our daily practice. Even when you are a professional, we should be able to see and say, these are Christian doctors. These are Christian soldiers. You should, don't tell us, let us see. John is tired of these fellows who said, we've been baptized, and the taxmen sitting at the booth, and they're the ones who actually tax more than even what the government requires of the day. So the tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said, the reply that he gives to each group is like, you have not believed. It's not a matter of baptism. You have not believed. If you would have believed, then it would not be, what shall we do? You should know what you should do. You tax collectors, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Don't just feign that you do not know when you yourself should by now know that as a Christian tax collector, you don't overbear on others and you don't overcharge so that your pockets are. And that's what was happening. Remember the fellow that Christ Jesus went to his house and he was a tax collector? And he had just gathered more than he had been given, I mean he had been charged to take. How about Matthew? And said, oh, I took more than enough. I've seen the light. Help us come into my house today. Those that I overcharge, I'll return. In fact, even more, I'll return. And John knows that there are those kind of people who are coming to be baptized, that they've seen the light. There's no light in them. There's no light in them. Soldiers also come. Maybe they had taken leave from the camp and They want to go and identify with the people who are being baptized. And John sees them over there in their uniforms. And they made a mistake also asking John, what shall we do? And pointedly, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusations. And be content with your wages. This kind of the freedom that the Roman government gave them as soldiers. You are allowed just to extort money. You are allowed just to harass people. You are allowed to tell them, now carry this luggage of mine 10 kilometers away, I'll be walking behind you. They were allowed just to oppress the people they're supposed to protect. And John says, no, it's not a matter of Caesar having said that. Now your mindset must change, even in the way that you do your work as a soldier. You should not use your official authority to extort money and favors if you are a Christian. So you see, we have a sample here of what bad Christianity is about. It's a sample of what bad Christianity is, that which does not produce godly fruit, that which does not bring any change, that which leaves us as it found us, and that is not Christianity for that. Remember the engagement that Christ had with these same people that I've been alluding to in John chapter 8. Let me just read a portion there to shed more light. John chapter 8, verse 37. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, you should be doing the works of Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father, the works your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. And Christ goes ahead to show them that even that claim is wrong. You are not truly children of Abraham. You are doing the works of your father, the works your father did. In verse 8, so verse 44, he then points them clearly that your father is the devil. Not even Abraham, the devil himself. You see, these men that who are coming to be baptized by John still belong to their father. That's the point. It doesn't matter that they are coming to show it openly and publicly that they now belong. Repentance that produces faith is not in them. They're still in the clutches of their father. And that's why John is able to identify them by their deeds and urge them to change, to be baptized, that baptism that brings repentance, faith that changes man. Therefore, there are bad examples of those who claim to be believers. And of course, bad examples even to some today. We know that we still have men and women in this faith we profess that are bad examples of the faith when we see their lives. But we are not left in darkness. We have also good example, so that we may appreciate baptism that bears fruit. We alluded to this also in the morning, but let's now see the passage, because it applies so well here when Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and he writes to men and women who have seen the light, who have repented, and therefore fruit must be seen in their living. In Ephesians chapter 5, let's begin in chapter 4, verse 17, Ephesians. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensual greed, sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus Christ. That's what the men lacked who were coming to Jordan. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in the true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, with one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor. And he counts them down there, the fruit of repentance, the change that must be seen. This is what John is demanding in those men coming down the river. And Paul goes on, and even when you come to chapter 5 of Romans, of Ephesians, he even shows us how this fruit of repentance applies in our homes, in the life between a husband and his wife, or a wife and her husband. This fruit must be seen. How can you say that you're a believer, baptized, but we know that you're the fellow who beats his wife, and you want your neighbors to believe that you've received baptism that brings repentance? You can't convince the best fool in the village that you're a Christian, because there's no fruit in what you tell him. And Paul says, therefore, even in your homes, from verse 22, chapter 5, let's see this: husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit. This is the fruit of your repentance. Oh, children, obey your parents, for it's right in the Lord. Oh, slaves, work as one who has received baptism of repentance. Your fruit must be seen in the way you work, not because your master has his eyes upon you, but because you are doing it unto the Lord. Peter echoes Paul when it comes to, again, house life. Oh, dear ladies who live with men who are not believers, 1 Peter chapter 3 is for you. Let them see the fruit of your repentance. And Peter says, who knows? That might bring them over to your faith. Those are the issues that John had and demanded of this man. So you see, it is not a matter of asking people that, are you a Christian? It's not a matter of going out shouting to people that I'm a Christian. If you came to John, he will not ask you, are you a Christian? He will ask you the fruit that you are bearing. If you came to John today with your buddies, with your friends, with whom you work, fellow doctors, fellow soldiers, the guys you hang out with, would he be seeing brood of vipers who've come to be baptized by John, by himself? And we must ask also, ye men and women doing business together, if as a group you came out to be baptized by John, would you see men and women who take advantage of the needs of the people and hoard some goods when you're supposed to be selling them to maximize on your profit? Or would you be the business, the guild that tampers with the scale so that you maximize on your profit? Or even just overshoot your profit because this is a free for all, free market. Christians don't do business that way. John wants us to see, to be a people that can be seen and approved of your Christianity by the way you do your business, not as the way he does it. Fear, if you fail the test, it might as well mean that you are not a believer. Like John would tell them that now the axe has been put on the tree, and every tree that does not bear fruit will be cut off. It doesn't belong, in other words. This is what Christ meant also, that he is the vine and the branches are there attached to him. Every branch that does not bear fruit will be cut off. Fear, you may not be one of us. If this is the way you do your business and run your daily affairs. So you see then, what I mean is that the faith we profess is alive and produces a living fruit. Without those production of living fruit, you're not a Christian, or you are trying to be one, but you're not. The Lord wants us to produce fruit that concurs with this repentance. Non-believers should as well take heed. No religious activities will make you produce the worthy fruit that the Lord wants to see. You see, this is the folly of many religions today. What they want to see is basically good works. They want to count on what they've done. And they think that producing fruit, you cannot produce fruit when you don't have soil that you root yourself in. You cannot put a fruit up this sky and say, or a plant and say, produce fruit. You cannot. What they tend to produce without Christ is nothing but leaves that have fallen off and are swept like chaff goes with the wind. You cannot produce fruit that John is demanding here. Without Christ, that's the point. The soil that you root yourself in
And then he says, he is the vine. Then from him, therefore, we are able to produce this fruit that are acceptable before the Father. You must have a growth medium for your crop to produce fruit, and a good one for that matter. And ours is Christ Jesus. And that's what John is saying here. Who has commanded you? Who has told you to run away from this? Have you even seen and met with Jesus Christ, who is able to rightfully, therefore, remove you from your bondage of sin and root you in him? Therefore, you bear fruit that is required of this repentance. Otherwise, you remain in vain, son of Abraham, without Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ told them this loud and clear. You are not even of your father Abraham. You are of the devil. Come to Christ. Bear fruit. We who are there, let us examine ourselves again. What kind of fruit are we bearing? What are your neighbors saying about your faith? How about your workmates? What are they saying about your faith? Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ exhorted us that we should not be like lamps that you light and cover in a basket so that your light cannot be seen. Neither should you see yourself as a salt that does not influence, a salt that has lost its saltiness. Many of Christians today, I'm afraid, are lamps that have been covered. Many are souls that have lost their saltiness. Many have lost even the ability to produce fruit. Can we see that you're a believer by the fruit you produce? We are tired of people professing from the mouth. We are tired of that. We want to see action. We want to see life. We want to see Christ manifested. Christ who is able to change the world. Amen.